Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to yet another exciting edition, the ninth if you're keeping count at home, of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. I am Double D. You can find me at twitter.com, Folsom County. With me, as always, is the above average comedian, Dangerous Dan Law.
Yeah, hi, folks.
You can find him at twitter.com, DanLaw83. Also with me is Go Thompson.
Absolutely, I am.
The man of many echoes.
Oh, man, I'll tell you. Echoing, echoing, echoing.
Am I really echoing still?
You're still echoing.
It's like a Pink Floyd album.
We tried
beautiful.
For 15 minutes
better?
Before the show went on anyway, we got a great show today. A great show. We got the Heart Killer. Don't call him a heartbreaker. He's a heart killer. It's Chris Wilde. He will be joining us. He is an ECWA cornerstone, and he is currently in a feud with those venomous black hearts.
So heartbreaker Chris Wilde is joining us tonight.
Heart killer.
Oh, heart killer. Gotcha.
Heart killer Chris Wilde. We also have, don't call him handsome, it's Mr. Boyer from New Moon Rising Wrestling. He's stopping by, and I can't wait for that. And also,
he's fugly.
At the 10:30 hour, we are going to be joined by Kakoa, the Flying Hawaiian. He's going to talk about really a disappointing couple of months he's had in ECWA. But beyond that, he has a tour coming up. He has a lot of good things coming. And I would be remiss if I did not say we are on thebradyhicks.com. So we're streaming there right now. It's just exciting. So, guys, what do you have to say? It's a packed show yet again.
It's going to be the greatest show in the history of Hell in a Cell Radio. Was that good? That's my Tony Schiavone.
We also have some candid audio that Empire picked up for us. That is, my goodness, King Blackie and Ty Reno at the Valor Pro Show. They picked up some exclusive audio just for Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Brownies 23 East.
So that is going to be exciting. And what I want to go into now is Chris Wilde. Now, like I said at the top of the hour, he...
Want to go into Chris Wilde?
Dan, please. He's involved in this feud right now with the Blackhearts that started last year. Right now, I don't know what to say about it. He recently defeated Breaker Morant for the TWA title. That's the culmination of a lot of things for Chris. Finally winning. He did, of course, also restore honor to the Mid-Atlantic title, which was kind of a forgotten title before Chris Wilde won it, and then he had it for almost a year, just shy of a year. So we have Chris Wilde. What I want to do right now is really get to some audio. This is Chris Wilde accepted the challenge from Joel Blackheart. So here's just a little bit of audio to get you up to speed to where we are with the feud.
You know, I could talk about how much winning the TWA Championship meant to me. I could talk about Chris Wilde and Breaker Morant last week in the ECWA arena, but I'm going to make this as short and sweet as I possibly can. You see, I'm here to answer a question that's been texted to me and emailed to me all day today. You see, apparently, Joel Blackheart went online and started throwing out challenges. You see, next month, June 2nd, I face Breaker Morant. I'm giving him his rematch because he took me to the limit, proved why he was a champion. But Joel Goodheart wants a stipulation. And I'm fine with that. But what I'm not fine with is the comments he made about me embracing the TWA heritage, about how they revolutionized the industry. Well, Joel, I'm not a hardcore wrestler, and I never have been, never will be. But I will do whatever it takes to win. And, you know, I know that last month you were away on vacation with your boyfriend in Italy. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But did you even talk to Breaker? Did you even watch the match? You see, a scaffold I jumped off of. A chair in the middle of the ring I took a powerbomb on. We went outside the ring. We went into the crowd. That ring couldn't hold me in Breaker Moran. So yeah, you outdone yourself this time. I accept the challenge. Falls Count Anywhere, June 2nd. The Heart Killer Chris Wilde, the TWA champion, versus Breaker Moran. And you know, I said I'll do anything to win. And I did anything I could to win that TWA championship. The question that you have to ask yourself in Breaker Moran is, what won't I do to keep it? See you June 2nd.
Okay, so that was Chris Wilde. He accepted the challenge from Blackheart. So without further ado, I'm going to bring him right on after his theme music. Hello, Chris, and welcome to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. How are you doing tonight?
Good, Dean. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I wanted to start out with how this whole thing started with Blackheart. October 15th of last year, Blackheart attacked Bazooka Joe after the DJ Hyde match. This was the Loser Leaves ECWA match. And one masked man attacked Bazooka Joe. You came and made the save. What happened that night at the Greater Newark Boys and Girls Club?
Well, before I answer that, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Is that not the best entrance music in wrestling today, or what?
I think it does charge up the audience. It certainly does. You go through the crowd, you make sure you get out there and see everybody. So, yeah, definitely. I love it.
I'm over here shaking my head and banging my hair around. But, as far as that night, you know, as a lot of people around know, Bazooka Joe was a good friend of mine. We kind of came up together. He started in East Midway before me. And when I got there, you know, he helped the locker room open up to me. So I owe Bazooka Joe a lot in that respect. That night, he was attacked from someone out of the crowd that was wearing a mask. DDT'd on a chair, taken out in an ambulance. And, you know, at the time, you know, we all thought that Bazooka Joe was the target. Come to find out, it wasn't that at all. That bring you to the K-Cup tournament. I believe you were there.
Yeah.
I had a match against Kakoa for the Mid-Atlantic Championship. And honestly, you know, the whole Blackheart thing was kind of in my head. So when I faced Kakoa, I wasn't exactly all into the match. Nothing. I'm gonna take nothing away from him. We all know he's a great competitor. But I lost that day, and after the match, I challenged Blackheart, who, of course, got me from behind again. And it was revealed to be Breaker Morant, Bobby Shields, and Josh Daniels, along with Joel Goodhart, the TWA group.
And it was that night that Joel Goodhart became Joel Blackheart. He led this band of. It just seems that they're really jealous of the success of ECWA. TWA, of course, went out of business. So it just seems to me that they're jealous of the success that ECWA has seen of late. And that of course, took us to New Year's resolutions, where you teamed with the Monster Out 2 against Bobby Shields and Breaker Morant. Now, what happened that night?
That was chaos. It was absolute anarchy. The match maybe lasted for 5 minutes before it completely broke down. which brought us to the next month's street fight. And the plot thickens. After that street fight, I got a chair to my back by Mike Tartaglia, who, as everybody knows that follows your show, is the owner of the fight. Right. So, you know, I'm not going to hold anything back here. You know, Mike Tartaglia, when he bought the ECWA, he hated absolutely everything about it at the time.
Yeah.
He was also owner of the TWA and was very close with Joel Goodhart. Mike was a wrestler back in the day for the TWA. I'm not going to say he was a good one, but he was a wrestler. So he buys ECWA and basically guts it. You know, takes out its core. And as many of you know, I was the last person picked by Jim Kettner to be a part of his roster. So with that being said, you know, Mike hires these Blackhearts and these TWA guys to finish the makeover of ECWA, and that's by taking me out. But what Mike doesn't know about me is, you know, I don't stay down for long. So that's why we are where we are right now. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, why would Mike just get rid of you too? And the thing is, Mike would like nothing more than to see Jim Kettner's last roster edition get beat up month after month after month. But I think we kind of turned the tide against them last month, as you saw.
Yeah, you finally, like I said, that was the culmination of this feud against, pardon me, against Blackheart. You finally did take something that was very precious to Breaker Morant, and that is the TWA title that he's held for over 2 years, I think it was.
Yeah, it was something like crazy, like 800 days or something like that, which I told him, you know, and this, you know, we all know wrestling and promos and this and that, but, you know, as a man, I looked at him and said, you know, everybody's talking about Papadon and his 400-plus, you know, day reign as champion. You've held that TWA title for 2 years, and no one's talking about you. Now, yeah, TWA has been dormant for a while, but, you know, the door has always been open to Breaker Morant to come into ECWA and to defend those titles. I mean, you look at the Fusion DS, you know, they've been TWA tag team champions.
Yeah.
And, you know, every time they held the belts, those were defended on the ECWA shows. You know, the Sensations defended them. So, you know, there was no excuse for Breaker, you know, not to come in here and, you know, work at being champion. And, hey, at the last show, he beat the I'm sorry, it's probably PG, right?
Yeah, a little PG.
Okay, he beat the crap out of me. And, you know, he showed why he was TWA champion. If he would have came in that way instead of being swindled by Mike Tartaglia, you know, who knows what we would be looking at right now.
Yeah, that is true, too, and that's a very good point. One thing I did want to bring up, though, this comes to the next match, the next series of matches that we have. June 2nd, you're going to be in a Falls Count Anywhere match against Breaker Morant, his rematch. Are you prepared? Because he's been under the tutelage of Joel Blackheart now for a while, and Joel Blackheart, as we know, you could say is the grand, the godfather of hardcore. So, are you prepared for that Falls Count Anywhere match?
I'm going to give Joel, even though he hasn't given me any, I'm going to give him all the respect that he deserves and say, you know, guys like him, guys like Jim Kettner, excuse me, they revolutionized the business. They did to where it is today. Jim, obviously, with the Super 8 tournaments and how that kind of manifested into the ROH style that it is today. And Joel Goodhart with the TWA and how that later went on to feed ECW. And then, I mean, you can even say that there would be attitude of the late 90s. So I'll give him that respect. But what I'm going to tell you now is him challenging me to this Falls Count Anywhere match shows how ignorant that he is to the business now. Because, again, while he was around shopping with his boyfriend in Italy, you know, me and Breaker Morant were all over the arena at the ECWA. So, you know, if you're going to put me in a Falls Count Anywhere match, you know, if you would have watched the match and talked to your boy,
yeah,
you would know that I'll do whatever I can. I'm not a hardcore wrestler, man, and, you know, nothing against the guys that do that. That's not my forte. You know, I'll never be a hardcore wrestler. You'll never see me doing that kind of stuff. However, you know, I'm going to do what I can to win, and I'm going to do anything I can to win. And I think as a performer in this industry today, you have to show that you can do multiple things. And as a competitor on the ECWA roster, you know, I think I'm showing right now, like, there's sides for a while you haven't seen yet, and that, you know, it kind of evolves every day. So am I prepared? Yeah. I mean, how do you prepare for a Falls Come Anywhere match? I guess I can grab my neighbor out of his house and beat him up in his lawn, or take a fight with somebody at the grocery store. You know, but really, you're going into the unknown. But I'm ready, man. I'm ready for Breaker. We saw each other at South Philly last Saturday. Didn't say a word to each other. You know, we're both ready, and we're going to tear the house down.
That's another point I want to bring up, too, is during the last match at the last show, May 5th, you really elevated your game to a level I haven't personally seen before. In the promo, you said that you jumped off the scaffolding. Now, what was going through your mind when you came up with that moment? I mean, why did you elevate it to that point?
I'll be honest with you. Growing up in Delaware, I've always been a huge ECWA fan. So, you know, to me, like, this is ECWA. I've always dreamed of being a competitor there. And I watched Aiden Chambers years ago jump off the really huge scaffolding that they used to have onto about three or four guys. And I said to myself when I saw that, I said, I want to do that one day. And I had my perfect opportunity. You know, as we were on the outside, it was like that flashed into my mind, that moment, and I had just seen Aiden for the first time in a couple months at the show. And, you know, I said, hey, it's all or nothing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember climbing up there and thinking, man, this is a lot taller than it looked. but you know, that's just one of the things that you got to do. And it's go time right now. I'm not getting any younger, so I'm willing to do whatever I have to do. And Breaker now knows that.
Now, before we get into winning the TWA title, which you did do that night, I want to talk a little bit about the Mid-Atlantic title. Now, when you won that title was vacant for, I believe it was a couple of months. And when you won that title, it restored honor to a once great title, I think. You held the title for almost a year. What was it like restoring honor to that title?
Again, this is a company I've watched, you know, since I grown up. And you know, I always remember that Mid-Atlantic Championship. At the time, the belt that I was holding as Mid-Atlantic Champion was actually the heavyweight title. A lot of great guys had held that belt. And, you know, I was a little disappointed on the way. I won't mention names, but the last champion that had it before me kind of left it in the cold. And when Joe took over, Joe Zanoli, as a matchmaker, you know, I said, look, you know, after I won the belt, I said, I want to take on everybody and prove that why I'm here and also restore some kind of honor and credibility to this belt. And I think I did that, man. I had a lot of great matches. The belt was, like, smoking hot when I held it. Wrestled guys like Kakoa in his first match with the company, tore the roof down. A lot of Joe Gacy from the Runaways, who wrestles for CCW, we had a knockout drag out. Me and Papillon had wrestled. So it was fun, and I'll never forget it. I wish it didn't end the way it did, and I wish the Mid-Atlantic title was in a little bit better shape than it is now. But it was great, man. It was a great feeling. Another guy I like to throw in there is Mozart Fontaine, who was part of the original Chick Magnet.
He's a really classic. He's a classic type of wrestler. He's a throwback, I'd say. I really like Mozart Fontaine's work.
Yeah, he's incredible. When he got in there with me, he said he felt like he was stepping into the time machine, because if you watch that match, I mean, he was on. He was doing stuff that he hadn't done in years. So it was a great honor for me to get in the ring with, again, somebody that I watched. But just a lot of great things at that Mid-Atlantic Championship. And that's, you know, no matter what I do for the rest of my career, man, that's a time that I'll never forget.
Okay, so now you've won the TWA Championship. Do you feel that that championship has a more storied history than the ECWA title, or would you consider the TWA the top title in ECWA?
But here's the deal. The ECWA championship goes back so long. Guys like Christian holding the belt, Christopher Daniels. I mean, it's always been the belt that I've always dreamed of having. And, you know, even though I might not like what he does outside of the ring or his cockiness and arrogance, Tapadon has, you know, taken that title to another level. With that being said, I'm now the TWA heavyweight champion, and I also respect the lineage that that belt has. And some of the greats that wrestled in the TWA, I mean, you can look it up, you know, guys like Jerry Lawler, Eddie Gilbert, the late Owen Hart, I mean, and you name it, guys have went through there. So with me now holding the belt, I'm going to do what I did for the Mid-Atlantic Championship, but even, like, take it up another level. And at the end of every show, people go, you know, Chris Wilde is the champion. Whether it's TWA or ECWA, you know, he is the champion.
Now, would you be open to a unification match if it did come down to that down the line with Papadon?
Absolutely. I mean, I've got, you know, I don't want to take anything away from Breaker Morant in this match that I have against him, because I've been putting a lot of my training into going into that match. But, you know, it has crossed my mind. I've got a lot of work to do with that title, you know, before I can maybe get up there to where Papadon's brought the ECWA championship. But absolutely. I mean, I have a little bit of a history with Papadon myself, and I've been waiting to get back in the ring with him ever since our last match. So I would love to do it, man. I would absolutely love to get in the ring with Papadon, throw all the belts in there. Absolutely.
Yeah, do that for me, please.
Absolutely, man. He, you know, he's been on a roll, but you know, I'm unlike anybody he's ever faced. And I mean, you look at the dichotomy of these two titles. Yeah, I wish I could go into it all the way, but me and him are the complete opposite. You know, he is a clean cut, no tattoos, very cocky, arrogant technician. On the other side, you have me. I've got long hair. I've got tattoos. I don't care what kind of risk I have to take. I take it. You know, I come out to the ring with rock music. He comes out to some, I don't know, video game theme or whatever he does.
Yeah, you don't make pizza. You don't make pizza.
I don't make pizza. I mean, I haven't done that since I'm 16. I don't brag about being unsigned. you know, I don't refer to my title as the package of bubblegum. Big red. But, you know, take it, like I said, I'm not going to take anything away from him as an athlete. But I'm not scared of him, and I'm ready to get back in the ring with him. So, yeah, man, I would love to.
I'm scared of him, so please get into the ring with him.
Yeah, I'm not. That's one thing. You know, Papadon and a lot of guys are scared to go toe-to-toe with him verbally, man. Any day of the week, let's do it. And he knows that because we did, man. We brought our level up. And I was even covered in the PWI era.
Yeah.
So, love it. We'd love to do it.
So I have a real quick question for you. You talked about taking on the original Chick Magnet, and then you talked about your upcoming Falls Count Anywhere match. But you say you're not a hardcore wrestler, but it sounds like you're a little more adaptive than you're giving yourself credit for. Why don't you give yourself a little pat on the back for that?
Well, yeah. I mean, again, I'm not trying to down hardcore wrestling or anything. Like I said, I'll do whatever I can to win. And, yeah, I can adapt to whoever style that I have to. You know, I'm not just a guy that can just wrestle cruiserweights or lighter guys. You know, I can wrestle a Kakoa one night and the next night fight a Breaker Morant, you know, or a guy like Glenn Osborne. So, yeah, it's, like you said, adaptive is the key word. You know, adapt to whatever I can. And you're going to see that next Saturday, man. I've got some things up my sleeve that are going to make people, you know, wonder what's going through my head. But anything I can to win, absolutely anything.
I can't wait for this.
Now, it is...
And, you know,
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And while we're talking about the match, you know, I hear there's a lot of chatter again of, you know, what's going to be the match of the night? You know, you got Aiden Chambers and Kakoa the Flying Hawaiian. Are they going to be the match of the year? Is it going to be Adam Cole and Papadon? And hey, those two might have matches of the year or matches of the night. But at the end of the night, my personal goal, besides retaining my championship, is for everybody to leave talking about Chris Wilde and Breaker Morant. You know, and that's the exact same way I go into every show. And, you know, I went last month. Everyone was talking about Kakoa and Papadon, and were they going to be the match of the night, how awesome it was going to be. You know, but at the end of the night, I heard a lot of people talking about Chris Wilde jumping off the scaffold.
Yeah.
So,
Well, that's June 2nd. That's coming up in the Greater Newark Boys and Girls Club, 109 Glasgow Drive in Newark, Delaware. I, for one, will be – we're actually all going to be there. I'm not sure about Mark yet, but we're going to be there doing a pre-show. I'd love to have you on.
I'm all going to be there.
Yeah, we can talk all about the match. We're starting at 5:30, so you're more than welcome to come over. I'm not sure where we're going to be set up, but you're more than welcome to come over.
Near a fence somewhere.
Yeah, probably by a fence or the dumpster, one or the other. But you're more than welcome to come over and get your last words in right before you head to the match. We'll be on from 5:30 until 7 bell time. So, but, Chris, I do want to thank you for coming on. This was a great interview.
Thank you. You know, anytime you guys need me or want me, I'm willing to come on. And, you know, Stacey Carter is going to also be there.
Oh.
Yes, she is.
And, so, you know, before I go out there with Breaker, I'm going to try everything I can to, you know, get maybe a valet for the night in Stacey Carter. So maybe I can, you know, walk to your table arm in arm with her. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would be wonderful if you did that. Please, thank you.
I think you're going to have a little trouble with Mike, though. He's going to be like a little puppy dog all around Stacey.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad that you brought up Mike again. And real quick, I don't want to eat up too much of your time. But, man, him parading around with that Mid-Atlantic Championship is about the most disgraceful thing that I've seen in years. That's worse than David Arquette being WCW champion. You put it in print, I'm saying it right now. That is worse. I mean, this guy's in Sesame Place with the belt. He's playing tug-of-war with Oscar the Grouch. He's in a pool with the belt. It's unbelievable. I hope that Mr. Lala can somehow take that belt away. I mean, anybody's better than Mike Tartaglia. All that work I put into to making that belt went right into Oscar's trash can, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Kokoa did a fine job with the title too, and
absolutely.
And now Tartaglia just buys it. So
unbelievable.
But June 2nd's your time to shine. You're going to try to be the match of the night, the match of the year. Good luck, and like I said, come over to the table wherever we're set up. We might be outside depending on signal, but you're more than welcome. But, Chris, again, thank you for coming on, and I look forward to next time we speak.
Absolutely, and I think I'm going to rename you the Heartbreaker, Dean Dixon. That's okay.
That's fine, yeah.
There you go.
I'm the Heartbreaker.
I think that'll help you remember you know, the whole Heart Killer mantra for me if you're the Heartbreaker.
I'll be the Heartbreaker, you're the Heart Killer. We can be
there
a tag team.
Absolutely.
And I'm the Heart Attack.
Hey. Enough hearts to go around. Let's do it.
All right.
Yes.
Chris, it was a pleasure.
Awesome. Thank you again.
Oh, no problem.
Rock.
All right, bye.
Awesome. Come on, feel the noise. Girls, rock your boys. We'll get wild, wild, wild. Wild, wild, wild. So you think I got an evil mind? Tell you, honey, I don't know why. I don't know why.
Chris Wilde. What about
awesome.
It?
Awesome.
That's right. Chris Wilde, he's defending that TWA championship he just won. What I want to get into real quickly now, at the last Valor Pro Show, I was going to go over the results, but we went a little over, so the results really aren't that important. Besides, the Nigerian Nightmares did beat Iron City after a Dumbo Drop, which they called here last week, and a full moonsault.
Oh, my God. Yes, we saw that.
Yes, the full moonsault. Made its debut last week with a third nightmare. So that was
better than Vader.
Yeah, that was something. What I do want to bring up right now, though, is I met with King Blackie and Ty Reno before the show, and they took my recorder, went backstage, and we got some very candid interviews with Empire going backstage at the Valor Pro and just capturing some of the people that were back there. This first one is actually they caught up with Aramis. He's a Northeast Independent standout. So here is their interview with Aramis.
Yeah, that was the anthem sung by some random guy. It was terrible.
I think that was Garth Brooks.
No comment. This is the Empire's takeover of Hell in a Cell Radio, and I'm here with the world-renowned Aramis. Aramis, how are you doing today?
I'm all right. How you feeling?
I'm good.
Hey, wait. We're inside of Hell in a Cell?
Not exactly Hell in a Cell. More like Hell in a Locker Room.
Yeah, it's definitely Hell in a Locker Room.
Yeah. Let me try this. I've been hearing a lot of podcasts like Coca Bandam. See, we are sitting here live in my studio apartment.
That's right.
And we're here with Aramis. So, Aramis, tell me, who are you going to beat up tonight?
Tonight, I plan on beating up Bobby. What's that name? Bobby Shields and Sonjay Dutt.
Is that the guy off of the practice?
No. I think he was on WWE a couple weeks ago.
On WWE 12, right? The game?
No, on WWE SmackDown, I think.
Is that the guy that lost the Ryback?
Yeah, that's the guy that lost the Ryback.
He got demolished. So tell the people, you got any last words for him?
Not really. Well, Shields already knows how it feels to get demolished by Ryback, so I don't need to tell him nothing. Sonjay Dutt, on the other hand, he's definitely going to get destroyed because he's been on TV more.
Yeah, I beat Sonjay Dutt up too back in 2009 on TNA Impact, that video game.
The video game don't count.
The video game don't count? Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Aramis.
So that's the first of five clips we're going to play. Featuring Empire getting some candid interviews at the Valor Pro Show. What I'm going to play right now is a commercial. We're in
We're in a cross-promotion.
Cross-promotion, thank you. With the Dream Warriors horror cast. So here is their commercial.
Are you bored? Do you need some entertainment? Well, I suggest you check out the Dream Wars horror cast. Isn't that right, baby?
You're going to miss a good show tonight. That's your tough luck. I thought you kids were all about team spirit.
Not only are we going to give you an entertaining show, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
I'm going to give you to the count of 10 to get your ugly, yellow, no-good keister off my property before I pump your guts full of lead.
Find us tonight. Facebook or Podbean at Dream Warriors Horrorcast, or on Twitter at Dream Warriors HC or Dark Deadeye 313.
To get in the cell, call in at 718-664-9133. Again, that is 718-664-9133.
Okay, we're back. So, what I want to get into now is Mr. Boyer from New Moon Rising Wrestling. Now, Mr. Boyer has been a veteran of the independent scene. I believe he trained at the Monster Factory. We'll get all these questions answered coming up in just a bit. But what I want to play first, I received something from the Foundation in reference to Mr. Boyer. And this is coming from Robert Knight. So let's get to this, and then we'll get Harold Boyer on.
Jump in my car. What's up, Hell in a Cell Talk Radio? It's the Knight Rider, Robert Knight. And I'm actually unable to appear live on the show this week because I'm on top secret business for the Foundation. They got me on an undercover mission out here in Boise, Idaho, going after some potato thieves. And believe me when I tell you, this is serious business. But I had to check in with you and remind everybody that tonight's guest, Harold Boyer, does not want to be called Mr. Boyer. He made that point clear when he was a guest of mine on Night Court. He will forever and always be Handsome Harold Boyer. And Handsome Harold, just to let you know, I may not be on the show live, but my pal Kit is listening to every second of it. And should you choose to run your mouth and say things about the Knight Rider that aren't true about everybody's hero, rest assured, we will find out about it and you will pay. Just like you paid when you disrespected me on my own show. So, Harold Boyer, do your best to follow in the footsteps of the greatest guest on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. And make sure you show respect to Double D, Mark, and Dan, because they are the best hosts of any wrestling radio cast going today. So let me tell you, Handsome Harold, sooner or later you and I are going to meet up, and when we do, you're going to find out that one man can make a difference.
Okay, so I brought Handsome Harold Boyer onto the show. Handsome Harold, how are you doing tonight?
It's not handsome, sir. Now, we've been through this before, and I'm sure that you were at the New Moon Rising Wrestling show, and you've seen what happened to the last person who called me handsome.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry.
Let's start this on a good note here. Let's start this on a good note and just call me Harold or call me Mr. Boyer.
Mr. Boyer, I do apologize. I was just on what Robert Knight told me, because he said you made it very clear that you wanted to be called handsome, but I guess I'm wrong.
Well, I mean, as you see, Mr. Knight, he's living in a fantasy world right now. He's riding around thinking he's busting potato thieves and riding around with that stolen belt. And, you know, I really don't get his point. I don't know what's going on with him. He used to be a good guy, and me and Robert go way back. We go way back, but I don't know what's on his mind right about now. And he just needs a reality check and come back to reality. And as I told him at the show, my name was Harold Boyer, Mr. Boyer, and he chose to have that mass assassin come and attack me. And even still, he couldn't get the job done, because you see what I did to the mass assassin.
Mass assassin number 73 did go down to your wrestling wiles. Now, I want to get into, before you even started wrestling, you were in the Golden Gloves tournament. Am I correct?
I was in a few Golden Gloves tournaments.
Now, how far did you go through with the Golden Gloves?
Well, Golden Gloves. I won the Golden Gloves in 1990, 1991, Philadelphia District, Pennsylvania State, South Jersey Diamond Belt Tournament, and the list goes on. I mean, I've boxed for a while, 47 amateur bouts, 11 pro bouts, and, you know, I did my thing when I was boxing. And I love this sport, but I kind of lost interest in it when you transform from being an amateur to a professional and, you know, the riffraff seems to, like, climb in, and they want to, you know, they just want to suck the life out of you. And once it became serious, then I really started losing interest in it.
Okay, so after you lost interest, you became a wrestler. Now, where did you start your training?
Well, I took a few years off, but then my brother, rest in peace, he was training at the Monster Factory, and he was through with his training, and, you know, he started, you know, going out there doing his little independent shows and stuff like that. And he told me, he said, you know, you're kind of big now. You know, I was about 260. He said, you're kind of big. He said, hey, how about we go out there and, you know, smash some heads and see what we, you know, what we thought of when we were kids, what we used to love to do. We used to love to watch wrestling. We used to love to, you know, entertain people. So that's what we did. He brought me in, and I started wrestling for the Monster Factory, started training there. You know, Monster Factory has put out a lot of great wrestlers, and I don't believe anybody else has ever put out more successful professional wrestlers than the Monster Factory.
So you've done the Golden Gloves thing, and now you've been involved with wrestling. You've clearly had a passion for both. At the end of the day, what one left you with is leaving you with a better taste in your mouth?
Oh, definitely wrestling. Definitely the professional wrestling. I started back in 96. So, you know, I had a couple injuries. A few years I took off, and, you know, I've been, you know, dabbling back and forth since 1996 with the wrestling. But, you know, it's something that I enjoy. I enjoy entertaining the crowd. I enjoy, you know, some of the camaraderie back in the dressing room and, you know, the friends that you gain and some that you lose, such as, like, you know, Robert Knight. But, you know, I guess that's the way the ball bounces.
Okay, so now you started in 96. What were some of the matches that made you during your first stint on the independents? When you started in 96, what were some of those matches that you look back on and you go, those were my matches, those were a top 10 match for me?
Well, I mean, to me, it's really no top 10. I mean, if you don't get yourself hurt or booed out of the stadium, or, you know, it's just, it's all a learning experience. It's all, you know, it's all fun and glory when it's all, you know, when it's all said and done. It's all glory. It's just win, lose. I didn't lose too much as a tag team. Like, this is like my first shot on the independent circuit, just me, myself. And, you know, it's a little different. I'm used to having a partner to tag in. I'm used to, you know, having somebody backing me up or whatever. But, you know, as you see, I stand alone out there. I don't have a group of people behind me. I don't have a group of dogs behind me. I don't have friends there. And I don't want friends. I just simply come to New Rising Wrestling just to, you know, stand on my own.
So in 16 years of wrestling, from 96 till now, what would you say is the biggest change in match etiquette, basically?
Well, the biggest change in match etiquette. Well, I'm not the bad guy as I used to be. Now, you know, I'm, you know, kind of straight over to the, you know, to the brighter side. And, you know, it's sometimes learning when I get somebody into a corner that, you know, I don't have to kick them and smash them and hold them. And, you know, it's just not, I'm trying to do away with the illegal moves. I'm trying to give everybody a fair match right down the middle and, you know, just showing them that I'm that honest guy and, you know, but I'm a hard wrestler.
Absolutely.
Now, Harold, we have you have made it to New Moon Rising Wrestling. That's where you're a star. What are some of your goals now that you've made it to New Moon Rising Wrestling?
Well, some of my goals. Well, everybody's goal is, you know, to eventually have a strap around their waist. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, look, I mean, well, my first try last year, I was in the tournament for the World Heavyweight Championship, and I didn't go through with that one. You know, I lost to the Punisher, and, you know, I had to take a few months off and get myself back together and, you know, figure out what I'm going to do with this thing, if I'm taking it serious or I'm not going to take it serious. But I'm definitely taking it serious now, and I see that the U.S. title is kind of up for grabs, you know, if they ever get it back from, you know, the Potato Bandit.
So you want to settle the score with Robert Knight. Is that one of your immediate goals?
Actually, it has nothing to do with me selling the score of Robert Knight because, you know, in order to have a feud, you have to have two willing participants. And obviously, he wasn't a willing participant because he couldn't stand on his own 2 feet the last time he seen me face to face.
Wow.
And what we're talking about there is Robert had Harold on for his first guest on the Night Court segment. And they were going back and forth for a little while. Then Robert put Masked Assassin number 37, and Harold beat him down. So that's what happened there. So at this point, New Moon Rising Wrestling, you're looking to get the strap around your waist. Now, June 30th, apparently there's a tournament of some type that's going to be for that title or a special match.
Yeah, I heard.
Yeah, we're not too sure yet. Do you know anything about it right now?
I have no clue on it. I'm just, you know, I just show up. I show up and, you know, put me in where I fit in, you know?
Okay.
I'd love to be in that tournament.
Now, is there anything else you want to say to anybody who steps in the ring with you at New Moon Rising Wrestling?
Well, just be ready. Be ready because you never know what to expect from Mr. Boyer.
Okay. I wasn't sure if something else was happening, but...
No, that was it.
Yeah, that was on my end. I'm sorry. But Mr. Boyer, I do want to thank you. I'm sorry we got off to the wrong foot. I want to thank you for coming into the cell and just getting what you wanted across
right
out there.
Right.
Okay, well, you have a good night, Mr. Boyer.
Okay, thank you, dude.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye. So, everyone, that was Mr. Boyer from New Moon Rising Wrestling. He is...
I should have asked why he didn't want to be handsome anymore.
I thought that was a question. That's why was that...
I dropped the ball on that one.
Yeah, that's why there was that awkward pause.
Yeah. Well, you know.
But anyway, guys, great interviews already. Wow. Wow.
Wow.
Nothing, you guys.
No, it's been. I great interview. Yay!
That's what I want to hear.
Honestly, Mr. Boyer there, a super nice guy. I don't understand why him and Robert Knight just don't get along. They're both class acts.
You just say Robert Knight's such a nice guy.
Could you imagine the coalition, the Knight Rider and Mr. Boyer? Could you imagine that mighty coalition that could be formed?
Unstoppable.
Well, let me see where we are.
Unstoppable, like the Dream Warriors commercial.
Well, no, we don't have that coming up right now. We already, the original Dream Warriors commercial was 2 minutes and 35 seconds long.
I would, however, like to shout out our boys at Dream Warriors, Butters and Magoo, but 3 minutes? No.
Not happening, pal. I wrote him today, and I was like, dude, I had to cut that down. I'm sorry. But anyway.
On the show because I love the horror movie thing. We should both get on there.
Well, when he does a Buffy the Vampire Slayer show, I do want to get on there for that.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah, because I love Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
You know, Gene, that's one of the things we have in common that we never really talk about.
That we used to. We used to during class, if I recall. I don't even remember what class it was.
Hey, gentlemen, things are getting real cute.
Oh, just coming on the line right now, my savior, Omega Squad. You guys are like, who is Omega Squad? Omega Squad, let me just get into a brief backstory who Omega Squad is. Omega Squad is one of the original members of the Hell in a Cell forum that started in 2004. So it is with great pleasure I bring on Omega Squad on to Hell in a Cell. Omega Squad, you're on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Yo.
We are doing great. I brought you on so we can talk a little bit about UFC 146 live on pay-per-view. This Saturday. Now, the undercard, the one, there's a couple actually I want to get your thoughts on. Now, we got Dan Hardy going against Dwayne Ludwig. What do you think about that one?
Well, I think that's got to be a must win for Hardy. I mean, he's on a 4-fight losing streak at this point. I mean, he hasn't done anything since he fought for the title against GSP, and he was completely outclassed in that match. I think he's got to win this one. Or he's out. I don't think that UFC has a reason to keep him around if that's the case. Ludwig, he's got a nice style that Dana White likes to keep around and showcase, but he hasn't done much of anything either. It's kind of a toss-up, but I think I would take Hardy in that fight.
So you're picking Hardy?
I'm picking Hardy.
Okay.
I think he's motivated. I think he's going to have to be motivated, and I think he's got to have changed up his style and make this a good fight.
Okay, now the next one I want to get to is Jason Miller against C.B. Dolloway. What do you see happening there?
Well, Miller hasn't had a whole lot of success in the UFC, and C.B. Dolloway is on kind of a losing streak here. You got kind of the submission guy versus wrestling guy here, with Miller being the submission guy. C.B. Dolloway obviously has a Arizona State pedigree from wrestling. I think C.B. Dolloway takes this down to the ground. I think he just smothers Miller for all three rounds. I think Miller has the gas to go all the way and try to keep up with submissions, but I think C.B. Dolloway is probably experienced enough to grind out a victory in this one.
Now, it's interesting you said that Miller has the gas because his last fight, he really gassed out in, like halfway through the second round against Michael Bisping. So
yeah,
you think at this point he's worked on that?
I think he has to have worked on that. He went 5 rounds with Jake Shields before, so, I mean, he can do it. I just don't think he was prepared. He had a very long layoff doing the Ultimate Fighter from his last fight. It was like over a year, I think. So I think if he's hit the gym, I think he can certainly build the cardio back up and take it 3 rounds.
Okay. So you're going with Jason Miller on that one. Now
I'm going with
the main
C.B. Dolloway on that one.
Oh, C.B. Dolloway. See, I don't even listen to... I'm sorry.
He doesn't listen to anybody. So
I don't listen. I just get across my own agenda. That's what I do here.
Oh, stop.
Will you stop it? The main card is Stefan Struve against LeVar Johnson. That opens up the main card. Stefan Struve, I really like. He's a submission guy. He's a tall guy. He has the reach of an octopus. If octopus had reaches. But what do you see going on in that one?
What?
Well, you know, LeVar Johnson's coming off his big win over Pat Barry, and that was only like 2.5 weeks ago. So he's fighting this on short notice. And he's got a lot of power. You gotta can't deny his power, and he didn't really get hurt in that last fight. Struve is a slow starter. He's a tough guy, but he has been knocked out before, and he just takes so long to get into his game, and he likes to brawl. And I do not think you want to brawl with LeVar Johnson. I don't think Struve has ever seen the power that LeVar Johnson has. Roy Nelson would probably be the only one I can think of, and Roy Nelson knocked him out. So I think I'm picking the upset here, and I'm thinking LeVar Johnson takes this one.
Okay, so that would be two in a row, very quickly for LeVar Johnson, is what you're saying.
Yes, I think he pulled it out.
Now, the next one I wanted to talk about was Big Country Roy Nelson going against Dave Herman. Roy Nelson really needs a win. Because I think he's on a two-loss streak now. He looked really bad against Radum. Who do you got?
Yeah, I think Nelson needs a win. He might be able to survive a loss because he is an Ultimate Fighter winner and he does have a fan following. But he does need a win pretty badly to get back into relevance in the heavyweight division. And you know, in the Radum fight, we did see a better Roy Nelson, more cardio, more better weight. I think that he's been working very hard to get down to a more reasonable weight. Dave Herman, he's a good fighter, he's a good striker, but Roy Nelson went 5 rounds with Junior Dos Santos, and pretty much all Dave Herman has got is his hands. So we know
that Roy Nelson can take a shot and another shot and another shot.
Exactly, he's just going to keep on going. You know, if he can last 5 rounds with three rounds with Junior Dos Santos, he can last 3 rounds with Dave Herman. And I kind of see this going. I don't know if Nelson takes it around and brings his jiu-jitsu into play, but I kind of think the way he's been going in his recent fights is probably going to be a 3-round decision for Roy Nelson.
Now the next one is Cain Velasquez coming up against Antonio Silva. That's Bigfoot from Strikeforce. Now, Cain Velasquez is, of course, a former UFC heavyweight champion. Like I said, Bigfoot, it's his UFC debut. His notable win in Strikeforce was, of course, against Fedor. Velasquez is 9-1. Silva is 16-3. Who do you see getting the big win here?
I think you got to go with Cain Velasquez. I think Cain is definitely going to be motivated to get back into title contention and fight the winner of Dos Santos Mir, I think. Cain is just an all-around better athlete than Silva. I have never been impressed with Silva. I think, yeah, he beat Fedor. That doesn't really mean anything when he did beat Fedor because, you know, Fader's lost to Radum then, and then he's kind of went downhill from there. Silva is a tall guy, he's a good submission guy, but Cain is a hell of a wrestler, and I think Cain will take this out pretty quickly.
So you're calling for the quick win?
Quick win from Velasquez in this one.
And then we got the main event. We got Junior Dos Santos, Frank Mir. Now, Dos Santos is undefeated in UFC. He is, of course, the current heavyweight champion. Notable wins, of course, Velasquez, Carwin, and Nelson. He also brings 10 KOs with a 14-1 record. Now, Frank Mir is a former UFC heavyweight champion, and he was also a former interim champion. And he has wins against Brock Lesnar, Nogueira, where he broke an arm, Nogueira's arm, and Tim Silva, where he broke Tim Sylvia's arm. So, where do you see this one? Do you think Frank Mir gets the big upset, or do you think it's just Dos Santos being very dominating?
I think Dos Santos is going to dominate this one. When you look at what Frank Mir has. He's really gotten very improved boxing, and he's obviously great on the ground with his Brazilian jiu-jitsu. The problem for Mir is Dos Santos is faster and probably stronger in the punching area, and he's very hard to take down. So unless Frank Mir can find a way to get Dos Santos down and keep him there long enough to get a submission, I think Dos Santos is going to pull this out. In fact, probably what I think is going to happen is Mir's going to try to outbox Dos Santos, and I think that's a mistake, and I think it's going to end just as quickly. Dos Santos is going to finish Mir just as quickly as it came to Velasquez in that type of fight. So
that would be... That would be a huge mistake if Mir were to box with him. But he did try boxing with Nogueira, and Nogueira is a superior boxer there as well. So that could be the strategy that he's going for.
Yeah, but I don't think comparing a young Dos Santos to a fairly well-worn Nogueira is a fair comparison.
That's true as well. So you're going with Dos Santos. He's going to retain the title in quick fashion.
Yeah, I think if he gets out of the first round, I think that's a minor victory for Mir.
Omega Squad, I want to thank you for coming on. I know you're out there in the backwoods of North Carolina right now, so I do thank you for
not
coming
problem,
on
anytime.
And spending time. So for UFC 147, we're definitely going to do this again.
Okay, sounds good.
But thank you so much.
All right, thanks.
Okay, so
that was very good in-depth look at the card. That's nice.
Yes, it was. Omega Squad, like I said, one of the founding members. He tried in vain to keep that forum alive after I took a disappearance from the internet for a while. Omega Squad, great guy.
Oh,
like
that's you, huh?
Yeah.
I love that his name's Omega Squad.
Yeah.
That was his given name.
And the messed up thing is O is his first name.
Oh, you don't mess with that.
No.
You don't. So that's Omega Squad.
No, not at all.
Now what I want to do is play the second Empire clip.
What do you want to do?
The second Empire clip, if I can find it.
Let's play.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, my God.
So I'm back to Empire's Takeover, Hell in a Cell Radio, Empire. And I'm here with Mega Destroyer, York's own Mega Destroyer. Mega Destroyer, how are you?
I'm doing great today, brother.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I heard you're fresh out of jail.
Not exactly. I had to take 10 months off due to an injury, several injuries. Sustained at running pretty much the hardcore scene. Now I'm back, mix it up with my technical game, and we're going to see what I can give him one more shot.
That's awesome. So you're going to punch someone in the face today, and you're going to break someone's eye socket, right?
Sounds like a solid plan. Can I steal that?
Yeah, you sure can.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do then.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Mega Destroyer.
Yo, this is the Empire, you know, Tyrino, you know, Blackie just did his thing. I have one more question to the Mega Destroyer. What is your thoughts on ACPW?
They're the greatest company in the world.
Stop bullshit. Stop lying. Tell the truth.
I'm still the underground champion.
I don't even know what to say to that. He's running for office or something because he's bullshit.
Almost 2 years, underground champion.
I think that company's in the underground.
First rule of Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club.
It's not a Fight Club. It's a defunct company.
I got no comment over this crowd reaction. We got to break up a fight. I'll talk to you later.
That was Mega Destroyer avoiding the hard questions. And this is Tyrino and Blackie for Hell in a Cell Radio.
Okay, so that was the second clip of
awesome.
Empire. I love those guys.
We're
going to
party. Those are my guys right there.
What'd you say, Mark? I didn't
those
hear
are
you.
My guys.
They definitely are. But my goodness. I just want to move on now. We're going to get into Kakoa, the Flying Hawaiian. It's been a disappointing couple of months for Kakoa.
Yeah.
There was a first-round loss at the Super 8, another loss to Papadon May 5th, where he lost the Mid-Atlantic title because Tartaglia came out and changed the stipulations right before he came out. So I don't know what to say about this because Kakoa is one of my guys in ECWA. I still say that one of the best matches I've seen live is Kakoa against number one Johnny Silver. I'm just going to play his music. We're going to get right to him. Okay, Kakoa, you are on the line with Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. First of all, thank you for coming on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be back.
Now, you were here a few weeks ago when we had Papadon on. I have to apologize for that. Papadon, as you know, very confident individual, somewhat. What's the word I'm looking for? Somewhat. Yeah, somewhat douchey. I think that's a good word to go with. But,
you know, arrogant.
What I want to get into is the past couple of months in ECWA have been a little bit disappointing for you. There was the first round loss at the Super 8, as I was saying when I was, you know, talking about getting you on. And then the loss to Papadon in May. How do you feel about these setbacks right now?
I mean, you know, there's always at some point of, you know, someone's career, there's going to be downs. And, you know, what I consider my recent loss is, you know, definitely one of my downs of at least my ECWA career. And, you know, it's something that I don't want to dwell on, and it's something that I don't want to, you know, keep looking back on, because in order to move forward, you have to stop looking backwards. So, it's definitely something that has been bothering me, and something that's been bothering me even more. And I addressed it in a video that I just posted to YouTube a little while ago. That should be on the ECWA website within the next day or so.
Okay.
Something that's been bothering me more is the fact that, you know, I have two losses, big whoop. And after I have two losses, now a lot of people are saying that, you know, I'm not the same wrestler, I'm not the same person, I don't have the same heart that I did when I first came in, you know, from my very first night when, you know, Chris Wilde and I, you know, went the limits, and I almost won the Mid-Atlantic title on my first night. So it bothers me more that people are saying that I'm not the same person, you know, after two losses. You know, it's two losses, big whoop. You know, people get back on track, people have some downs, and I consider this one of my downs, but I'm definitely the same person that's working hard, and it's going to be continuing to entertain everybody and hopefully get back on the right track.
Now, one thing I did want to bring up, not necessarily the loss to Papadon, but the fact that after you lost the match, the Mid-Atlantic title goes to Tartaglia. He buys the title. How do you feel? Because that legacy that both you, both our guests, you and Chris Wilde, how do you feel that legacy is now tarnished because it's around his waist? How do you feel about that?
If he would have won the title, if it would have been something, you know, if he would have gotten more involved or like switched the match somehow and just, you know, put all the odds, you know, against me and everything of that sort, if it would have been tarnished in a way of like being won, I think that that would have been worse than, you know, the fact that he just bought it. You know what I mean? Like the fact that, you know, Papadon, even though that and you were there, technically I did win the match at one point. I did have Papadon pinned at one point. But, you know, that's neither here or there. But anyway, the fact that, like, the title was actually won to Papadon and then just, you know, kind of handed over to Mike, I don't think necessarily tarnishes the title itself. I think that if he won it, if Mike would have changed it and he would have won by, you know, basically getting all the help that he could, I think it would have tarnished. I think it would have tarnished it that way, more or less, than the way he did it. But taking it to Sesame Place, I don't think that was a very good idea. But then again, I'm not the Mid-Atlantic champion anymore.
Now, I know you don't want to dwell in the past or live in the past, but quite frankly, I've been having a Twitter feud with Papa Don, and I'm asking this question because I need protection. When are you going to ask for a rematch, whether there's a title or not in place? When are you going to get your quote-unquote revenge on Papa Don?
I'm ready for my rematch at any point. I mean, if I show up, you know, June 2nd to Newark, Delaware, and I face Aiden Chambers, and as soon as that match is over, if I've all of a sudden granted my rematch right then and there, then, you know, then so be it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm ready to gain back what's rightfully mine, and unfortunately, you know what I mean, it's not something that's in my control, so that doesn't mean that I'm not going to press for it. You know, as soon as I can get it, I'm going to take it.
Now, I'm glad you brought up June 2nd. You are wrestling an ECWA legend, a Grand Slam champion, Aiden Chambers. What is that feeling like, getting in the ring? This is really a dream match for a lot of ECWA fans. How do you feel about it?
The more that I learned about Aiden Chambers, and, you know, and I have to apologize on my end, you know, I don't get to do my research as much as I would like to do. There's so much concentration that you need, you know, on your own career, like as you're trying to climb up the ladder, and there's so much attention that you need to put towards, you know, everything else as a package in order to climb that ladder. So, you know, I need to apologize to Aiden that I didn't know just how much of a history he had until, you know, everything, you know, I heard rumor that I was going to be facing him. Like, I knew he was an ECWA original, and I knew that he had won a few titles, but I didn't actually know he was the Grand Slam champion. And now that I learned that fact, it makes the match even more exciting for me, because now, you know, I've gotten in the ring with guys in WWE, and I've gotten in the ring with guys, you know, like Bobby Fish, that's big in, you know, Japan, Noah. And it, now that I'm facing somebody that's basically in the same situation, you know, he was in the same situation that I am now, you know, basically climbing the ladder in ECWA and, you know, starting to make a name for himself. And I kind of look at it as I'm the new wave of ECWA originals. That's the way I would like to I would like to think about it, because now, you know, he is an original and, you know, like you said, a legend, you know, obviously one day going to be in the ECWA Hall of Fame. So now, you know, I definitely see it's basically he's facing his old self in a sense. You get what I mean?
Right, right. Mike, I would like to get off track of wrestling for a little bit and find out more about the stand-up comedy show that you'll be putting on. What's this all about, and where are you going to be performing?
Well, basically, it's for an open mic night. I used to do it at, like, every week, but with the scheduling and it being late, I kind of took some time off from it. So now, like, I only really come in when, you know, they want to say, like, oh, you know, there's a local celebrity coming in, blah, blah, blah. but I'm going to be doing stand-up comedy at the Bethlehem Brew Works the 28th, I believe is the date. I think that's the next Sunday. I think that's the correct date,
20.
If I get it off the top of my head. But it's the last Sunday of the month. 27th. Sorry, my apologies.
I got
you back. Yeah, basically, you know, just going to be going in. Exactly what I'm going to be talking about yet, I'm not exactly sure. I think off the top of my head, I do know that I want to talk about alcoholics or, like, drinking in general, and I'll just give you, like, a little, like, preview. I'm not really exactly – I don't know how I'm going to word this yet, but just to throw it out there, you can always tell how old somebody is by where exactly they drink. You know, like, if you're talking to somebody and they're like, oh, I got hammered at this club last night, obviously they're probably between the ages of 21 and, like, their mid-20s. And then you get into, like, if someone says that they got hammered at, like, Applebee's, like, they're probably in their mid-30s. You know, and if you talk to somebody and they're like, oh, I got hammered last night at this, like, fire hall, well, they're probably, like, in their 40s or 50s or hey, beyond. And then, but then you go here. Well, if anybody says, like, oh, well, I only drink at the fire hall because they got cheap drinks, well, then you're an alcoholic. You know what I mean? Like, that's
uh-oh. I guess I'm an alcoholic.
Well, that's just, like, you know, where I go. So I'm not, you know, I don't drink. You know, I don't drink at all. You know, I've talked about how straight edge I am. You know, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I've never indulged in any of that stuff. But the actually, like, one of the things that bothers me is because any time that somebody finds out that I don't drink, they're like, oh, well, you got to try beer. Like, you got to have a beer with me. And I'm like, well,
no,
I've actually tried beer, and I don't like the taste of it. Like, I sincerely don't like the taste of beer. And they're like, oh, well, it's, you know, it's like an acquired taste, you know, like, you have to keep trying it, and then sooner or later you'll start liking it. And I'm like, you know what, I'm pretty sure if some dude came up to me and started making out with me and I didn't like it the first time, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to continue making out with the guy until I start liking it. So I don't understand this acquired taste.
It's acquired taste if you like the taste of ass.
Yeah, there you go.
You see, I drink all the fruity drinks anyway, so I hear you, except for the not drinking.
There you go. You're on the same page as my girlfriend. That's what
I think. Well, thank you.
Now, another thing I wanted to bring up, Kakoa, is you're going on a tour of Europe. Can you – where are you going? I know briefly we talked about it on a different show, but –
What?
Briefly, where are you going? Who booked it? What's going on with that?
Well, I'm going to be flying out of Newark, New Jersey Airport, and I'm going to be flying to – London Heathrow. Now, once I get there, I believe I'm taking a train into Manchester. Like, where exactly I'm going on the tour, I'm not exactly sure because I won't get my full schedule until I get there. But it's basically the same tours, that Adam Cole has done and, you know, Sammy Callahan, you know, multiple CZW guys, which is how, this kind of got set up, I talked to DJ Hyde, and, you know, I told him, like, what my goals were down the road, because I did a bunch of shows with him, and I was always, like, trying to, you know, pick his brain and get advice from him and everything of that sort. So once I told him that I wanted to go to, you know, on these overseas tours, you know, he got me in contact with the right people, and, you know, we basically kept communicating and everything of that sort. And sooner or later, finally, you know, we got the dates and everything of that sort. So I'm going to be leaving July the 18th, and I will be returning August 24th. So I'm going to be gone for, I think, like 6 weeks. So I'm very, very excited.
Now, I am to understand, and I think you mentioned this before on that other show, but you will be filming a DVD, a documentary for this tour?
Yes. I'm always one to be, you know, on the same page with my fans. Like, I really want my fans to know, that they're, you know, they are the reason that I keep doing this, and I'm always thinking about, like, what else I can do for them, and, you know, what better way to get more on a personal level with my fans and the people that support me than to videotape the entire tour, you know, put it together on a DVD. Mm. And, you know, I've been trying to keep as much interaction for this DVD to basically say, like, you know, this is for you. So, you know, on Facebook, I even asked, like, you know, give me titles for the DVD. Like, I'll call it, you know, whatever you guys want. And then, like, you know, whatever the most popular one is, you know, we'll go with that. So, it was voted on my Facebook page that the DVD is going to be called A Warrior's Journey, which I think is a very fitting title because, you know, it's basically, you know, how I got to this point, you know, and I think it fits perfect. So, yeah, I'm going to be filming everything when I'm overseas, between the, you know, the plane rides, the, you know, bus trips, everything, backstage. I'm going to have a couple matches on there, film when I'm, you know, Skyping with my girlfriend or FaceTime with my girlfriend, you know, just everything. And,
well,
you know, what exactly makes it is, you know, we'll see. But, I think it's going to be great. I put a preview of, like, the opening scene on YouTube also. Got great feedback from that. And I think we're going to be releasing it early September because once I get back, it'll be late August. So just to finalize any production, then it should be out early September.
That is the first time I think I've ever seen – the DVD hasn't been filmed yet. We already have the artwork.
Yeah, I'm one step ahead with everything. As soon as I get my hands on a project, it's all right. Let's get everything done. So as soon as this done, everything's all ready to go.
Full speed.
You know, I'm a big planner ahead.
Yeah.
So you're doing the DVD. You've faced Papa Don, who's a pretty high caliber guy. What do you think the next big push for you to get to the next plateau of your career is. What do you have to do to move yourself up to the next rung?
And that's such a tough question, because that same question that you're asking me is what I ask myself literally every day. You know, it's like, what else can I do? Like, you know, I'm trying the best that I can to get myself out there, to make people know that, you know, this is what I want to do, this is my passion, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. To get to that next step, I feel like a great way to do that is to, you know, continue to, you know, try to be a part of WWE every chance that I get. And another great way I feel is if I were given an opportunity on, let's say, Ring of Honor or TNA, how to get to that point. I don't think that there's necessarily a strategy that I can have in my mind, but just keep pushing. I mean, sooner or later, I feel like, you know, you're going to get to a point where your name's going to be talked about so much that it's almost hard for those top companies to not ignore what they're hearing. So hopefully I can get to that point. I think it's going to take a couple more years, but hopefully not. But I'm going to keep plugging either way.
I just have like a brief question, just your thoughts more than anything else. Now, Bobby Shields was in WWE. It was a squash match against Ryback. You were in WWE. You did a vignette with Marseille. Now, do you feel that helps you as far as networking, that sort of thing? Or how do you feel about just those little one spots that you guys get the opportunity to do? Do you think that helps or does it hurt in the long run?
It absolutely helps. I mean, I don't feel that, you know, it can hurt you in any way. I mean, being the devil's advocate, you know, someone could say like, oh, well, they, you know, you did a squash match. It's like, you know, why are they going to make you a superstar one day if you've got your you know, your butt whooped? But you have to understand, like, you know, we're early in our careers where there's more than enough time to develop, you know, the character. There's more than enough time to develop the person that you ultimately want to make, you know, a superstar. And you're getting in front of the people that you need to get in front of. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's not like you just show up and you don't do anything. You just sit in a corner and then all of a sudden you go, okay, head on out there, get your butt whooped by Ryback.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You go there, you know, hopefully you get a chance to work out, and then you work out in front of Jamie Noble and William Regal and Triple H, you know, if he's around. And it's obviously those are the people that you want to impress, because if they see something in you, you know what I mean? Like, they're obviously going to say, hey, we could use this guy, because everyone, all those guys in WWE are on the same page. They all want to make the product great, and if they obviously see something that's going to benefit the company, then they're going to be the ones that say, you know, hey, let's take a look at this guy. So I think that it helps you more than anything. I don't know what else, what other better opportunity you can get besides going to the tryouts that you're going to get other than those little, you know, those little spots. And I mean, look at Colin Delaney. You know, he got the crap kicked out of him on TV, and all of a sudden he got a contract, you know, to get the crap kicked out of him. You know what I mean? Like, as much as I don't want a career like Colin Delaney's, where, you know, you're basically the underdog for a year, but hey, he did something that I want. He got to travel with all the guys. He got to go to TV. He got to do everything. He got to go to pay-per-views. You know, he was a part of the company for a lot longer than I've ever been, and that's something that I want. And it, you know what I mean? There was a fortune teller or, you know what I mean, somebody standing in front of me that's saying it's either this or nothing, well, obviously, you know what I mean? Like, you're going to be appreciative of the time that you were there. So he got to do something that I didn't. Obviously, that's not what I want. But, I mean, you know, there's obviously a jealous card that you can play there.
Yeah. Okay, now, we're not going to see you in July because you're going to be on tour for ECWA.
I will be there.
Oh,
because
you will
my
be.
Tour date, yeah, my tour dates got pushed back, which is another video that's going to be going up on YouTube in the near future, which was going to be on it was going to be on the DVD, but it's just to put over how frustrating it was, because I had to change I had to change my entire dates and, like, and where I was going. Originally, I was supposed to fly to Dusseldorf, Germany, and it was going to start there. But now that everything got pushed back, they need me to fly to the UK.
Oh.
So I had to basically make a whole new flight, and I was on the phone with them for over an hour trying to change this.
Wow.
And, yeah, I videotaped the entire thing. And by the time, like, it got done being put together, it was, like, to put over how frustrating of a phone call this was, it was, like, almost 12 minutes long. So it was like, well, we can't put this on the DVD. It's going to take up too much time. So we're just gonna throw it on YouTube just to give, you know, just to give more people something to watch.
While that might be frustrating for you, but at least I get to see you before you go in action in July. But, of course, you got June 2nd, 1st. That's against Aiden Chambers. Now, the 27th, where are you going to be performing that open mic?
It's going to be at Bethlehem Brew Works in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Okay, so everybody in that area in Bethlehem, go out, support Kakoa the Flying Hawaiian. That's at the Bethlehem Brew Works, and that is this, well, the last Sunday of the month, which is this Sunday. So it's Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, awesome. I didn't even know that.
So you might even get more of a crowd coming out.
I hope so.
June 2nd is also your match against Aiden Chambers. You have the European Tour. You have a DVD coming out. And I just want to thank you for coming on and sharing a little bit with us, Kakoa.
No, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Anytime. And like I told Chris, we are going to be there doing a pre-show June 2nd. So come over.
We need an interview.
Yeah, come over. You're more than welcome to come over and give your thoughts about the match with Aiden. Because
right.
We'll be there live from 5:30 until bell time at 7. So
all right, awesome.
There's the open invitation. But,
awesome.
Kakoa, again, thank you once again.
All right, thank you, guys.
Okay, everybody, that's Kakoa the Flying Hawaiian. Let me play his music, and we'll be right back. We're back. What I want to get to right now is on the Papadon Show, which is also on the BradyHicks.com, he was talking about some other podcasts that perhaps you should listen to. So here's Papadon talking about other podcasts that you should support.
PWI, first and foremost. They've been around the longest. They are the wrestling magazine for professional wrestling. All right. I'm not saying it's a brown nose. I'm being very honest. Support the PWI because they support professional wrestling and the independents and the ECWA. And I want everyone out there who's listening, tell a friend. Have them tell a friend, and they can tell a friend, and so on and so forth about the Papadon Show and about the fish tank with Bobby Fish and about, you know, Brady, all the British In the Room shows that he does every week and all his podcasts and other people like Dean Dixon and his Hell in the Cell radio show. And all the buddies like Kevin Matthews and Jamie Silver and Pat Buck with 2.5 Wrestlers and Colt Cabana with the Art of War podcast. Support all these podcasts that are out there, the good ones. And you know, obviously it's going to come full circle because the more support you show these people, not only at the shows by buying the merchandise and booing and cheering for them while they're in the ring, but if you listen to their podcast, and obviously they're having a good time doing it and giving it back to you. You know, it just comes back through the enjoyment and through what they can offer you on a podcast. I mean, fact of the matter is, when Brady and I decided to do this together just as a joint venture to see it where it goes, we didn't know what's going to happen. We don't know how many people were going to listen. You know, we just said, yeah, let's try it. We have good chemistry together from all the interviews that we've done. We'll see what happens. And, you know, we've gotten good feedback. People have enjoyed it. So for a half hour out of their day, they're listening to me while they're doing something else, whether they're at work or they're at home, or whatever the case may be. But they're getting a good time. They get a good chuckle, especially when I, you know, downplay Kakoa the Dirty Mexican. But, you know, that's just easy enough. But seriously, show support. Go to all their podcasts, your Art of Wrestling. Support, you know, 2.5 for us was Hell in a Cell, In the Room, support, go buy the PWI magazine or get it digital online. Whatever the case may be, there's different ways of showing support instead of just buying, you know, T-shirts or going on and hitting the like button on Facebook when someone posts their pictures from their show or whatever the case may be. Fact of the matter is, any support, that's all we need to keep this business going. If we all work together, you know, and we all move together in the same direction, this business can only move forward, not backwards. And all the positivity moves forward, all the negativity gets dragged behind. You know, and all that negativity gets dragged behind, it disappears, and all the positivity moves forward, then obviously we're doing something right, and the business will go in the right direction, and we can all make money and all have fun together.
So that's Papadon giving his endorsement, and we were mentioned in the same breath as 2.5 wrestlers, as Brady Hicks, as
Colt Cabana.
So
wow,
that's coming from Papadon, the ECWA.
I'm still scared.
World
you know, Dan, I know you have your little feud with him, but it kind of nice, huh?
Yeah, that was awesome. I'm still
kinda
scared.
Fun.
That was kind of fun. I'm still scared to death.
You should be. He just likes Dean. He didn't mention us.
No. He's like, Dean Dixon, not that fat guy.
Oh, Dan, they haven't met you yet. I'm sure once you meet them...
I'm sure when I meet Papadon, everything will be just fantastic.
What I want to get to now is another interview that Empire conducted at the Valor Pro Wrestling
Show. Oh,
yeah. So anyway, so now we're here with Slim Whiskey.
Hey. Cop Boots.
Yeah, you remember him from Kayfabe TV episode A Lot with the Cop Boots on. So, Cop Boots, how are you doing?
I feel good. That's good.
Slim Whiskey, you're a good man. You used to be in the Empire before we kicked you out. Wasn't he the first person we kicked out?
Yeah, because of those cop boots.
Well, you know, ain't no better feeling. You know, your welfare check y'all gave me ain't cash right, so I had to go to bigger business.
Don't you disrespect the EBT card ever. Saying a guy who don't have no titles.
Ooh, that's all right, paper champ.
Hey, I want my world title fair and square. Ain't that right, Black?
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Thanks to me.
All
right.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Slim Whiskey.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening.
So that was Slim Whiskey with Empire, and I just want to get this one in real quick as well. It's only 40 seconds. This is Van Stremmer.
This is Ty Reno back for Hell in a Cell Radio here at the first Valor show. And your name is?
I'm the voice of Valor, Van Strummer.
How you feel about the first show? How you think everything's going? As you can tell from the crowd, they really enjoying themselves.
Oh, yeah, the crowd is red hot out there. They've been hot since the beginning. And that, as soon as we went out there, they've been hot. They were restless before the show actually even started. But once it got started, whoo, just been screaming, yelling, hooting, and hollering.
That's right. They wait till the Empire get out there, and we're going to tear the house down like no one else. You know how to do a cheap plug in there for the Empire and the Gunners. So here you go.
Who's the Empire?
Don't get hurt, man. Don't do that.
I'm sorry.
Cut.
So Van Stremmer did not even know who the Empire was. We have one more clip. We're going to play that once we get into overtime. So hold your breath for that one. Guys, another great show tonight. What did you guys enjoy the most?
I don't know. I'm holding my breath.
Mark?
I got to be honest. I'm surprised that talking to Harold Boyer, I feel like he's just a classy dude. I think I like him, too.
Yeah, that was turned out much better than I honestly expected. It was a good interview and had a lot to say.
I kind of feel torn between him and my buddy, Robert Knight.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think anybody can take the place of Robert Knight.
Okay, guys, just hold on 1 second. We're going to go into overtime.
Hold your breath.
Welcome to overtime, everyone.
Hey, oh, we're live. Oops.
Yeah, we're in overtime now.
Because I don't remember.
I do want to thank Empire for going backstage with the recorder and getting some fabulous interviews.
And cuss words.
I got most of them. I got most of them.
Awesome.
So, this is their last one. This is Empire out.
Captain's Log 317-CCX. Not to be confused with CZW. I'm sitting here with Tyrino. We're bored. Ready to kick someone's face in. Tyrino. Hey, Mark, I'm talking to you. Tyrino, how do you feel about this long wait for us to kick someone's head in?
Getting restless. I want to go to sleep.
Don't rip off my gimmick. So anyway.
You ripped it off first, so I decided to do it too.
Sitting here, bored, waiting to kick in this fish's face in and this other metrosexual, transsexual head off. Anything to add, Ty?
No.
Wishing that D and Ron Starr was here, Ron with that big red singlet and D with that. So anyway, moving right along, Captain's Log, Gunner's out.
Gunner's out.
Oh my God, his Shatner was almost dead on.
Black, King Black, they are great guys. I can't stress it enough. They are great guys.
It was really like dueling banjos. It was dueling Shatners. It was really spectacular.
Shatners, which is something you really, really don't want. One is enough. Two Shatners, too much.
I don't know. I hope that when we go out and party with those guys that they do dueling Shatners sometime.
We're going to do Shatner all night. What do you think? Another round of drinks? Yes, I think another round.
I hope we come up with a drink named the Shatner.
The Shatner.
What would that be?
Peach, I don't know, but I think it involves poop. Schnapps and poop.
This is such an awkward moment for me to laugh at.
Hey, we're going to drink some poop.
A little bit. One other thing I did want to... I just want to get all the audio clips out that are in my system right now. Here is UFC 146, their commercial. It's kind of a throwback to the mid-80s.
Saturday, Saturday, Saturday. This Memorial Day weekend. Be ready for an epic pounding, bone-crushing, mega-ass-whooping. At the best heavyweights, go toe-to-toe for total destruction. Cigano. Bone Breaker. Brown Pride. Bigfoot. Pee-wee. Big Country. Super Samoan. Skyscraper. And don't miss the most jaw-dropping Babes of the Ring. If you miss this, you better be dead or in jail. And if you're in jail, break.
Right back to the 90s.
Wow.
That was I guess it's a throwback because it's a lot of heavyweight fights. So it's a complete heavyweight card coming up for UFC.
You know who stole that? Also, earlier on when the monster truck races were going on circuit, they were using that Sunday, Sunday, Sunday at the tractor pull.
And it's go ahead, Mark.
It's really only missing that one line. You'll buy the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge. That's the whole commercial to me.
And the last thing I just want to play, I'm not going to talk about the results of the Strikeforce card. It was a wonderful card, so if you're into MMA, just trust me when I say it. It was a wonderful card. The replays are coming up on Showtime, but I just want to play the results from Showtime Sports.
On Saturday night, Strikeforce returned to home sweet home, HP Pavilion in San Jose, California, and served up another memorable night of mixed martial arts action, culminating with a Star is Born performance as undefeated upstart Daniel Cormier improved to 10-0, recording the biggest win of his embryonic career as he took veteran Josh Barnett the distance and defeated him. Like a matador as he avoided the rushing bull. Barnett now the high quadruple. Oh, and a slam takedown by Cormier. Wow! Below a minute 19 left in the round. Right head kick by Cormier hurts Barnett. And Cormier now beginning to go in for that kill. Unloading the strikes. Knees to Barnett. To become Strikeforce Heavyweight World Grand Prix Champion. In the co-feature, Gilbert Melendez and Josh Thompson delivered another epic confrontation for the Strikeforce Lightweight title. As the trilogy lived up to its billing, Melendez and Thompson went another 5 rounds, and when it was over, the crowd was clamoring for Chapter 4. Don't forget, Strike Force returns to Showtime on July 14th with another title twin bill as Luke Rockhold defends the middleweight championship against Tim Kennedy, and Tyron Woodley welcomes Nate Marquardt to Strike Force in a battle for the vacant welterweight title. Don't forget, that's coming up July 14th. Strike Force, only on Showtime.
Okay, so like I said, I'm not going to go into it because he pretty much talked about the two main matches. Anyway, so guys, next week we have Adam Cole. Ring of Honor superstar is going to come in to Hell in a Cell. What do you guys think about Adam Cole?
I feel like it's a big opportunity, man. It's like it's you know, it's like a big step for us, I think. Ring of Honor guy, that feels special to me.
That is, yeah, I mean, step in the right direction. Again, with, and no offense at all to any of the other companies, but the a company with more exposure, more listeners, for them, more people to go to the show, you know, it's a good thing.
Adam Cole, I've seen him in action in ECWA. He was, of course, in the 2011 Super 8, my first Super 8 I went to. Went to the finals.
God!
Against Tommaso Ciampa, lost in the finals. But there was a great match, probably the best match I saw in 2011. Adam Cole, Austin Aries, in the semifinals of that. If you can, pick up the DVD, because it's really worth it. That match alone is worth the price of admission. And there was Adam Cole against Sami Callihan to open things up at the 2011 Super 8. So, but anyway, Adam Cole, great opportunity, as you both said. He's also, of course, involved with CZW. We're going to talk. He's getting 45 minutes easy. So do your homework.
Doing it now. Duh.
What homework?
Do your homework is the best I can say, because he is going to get the time. Also next week, we should have someone from Chikara. That's right. Or Chikara.
I was going to say, is it Chikara? Because I don't know who Chikara is.
Chikara, I'm sorry. They will be calling in to discuss their June 2nd pay-per-view. I'm not sure who's going to call in, but today I set up a... We were talking back and forth for quite some time, so Chikara, next week.
Now, this is the same company that my time-traveling friend is in, correct?
Yes. Now, the other thing with that, Ophidian today shed his skin and molted into his snake skin. It's available on YouTube, so I would check it out if you have a chance. Just search for Ophidian on YouTube, and you should find it. They're going to be live June 2nd at the Trocadero in Center City, Philly, right there by, I guess it's actually in Chinatown.
I was going to say, it's pretty much in Chinatown.
It is. Pretty much in Chinatown. It's main drag. It's near that Wawa.
That, you know what, I said it before, I'd really love to see a show there.
Unfortunately,
it's like a real interesting venue to watch wrestling.
Yeah, a wrestling show, I mean.
Unfortunately, we're already committed to the pre-show, June 2nd. We're Raise the Bar, ECWA's Raise the Bar, but I hope Chikara comes back to the area very soon, because I think they're an exciting product. They're quite different from anything else you've ever seen.
Another thing, I mean, I'm assuming they're going to set the ring up on stage.
I have no idea where it's going to be.
The only time I've ever seen that I can recall is World Wrestling All-Stars did a pay-per-view at the Aladdin in Las Vegas.
Mm.
And they had the ring up on the stage.
I couldn't see it fitting on the stage. I think on the floor there.
It's small stage.
Close to the stage. Like it would hug the stage at the Trocadero.
Yeah, I guess that way you could utilize the balcony.
Yeah, for people to sit. Hopefully not to jump from.
No.
No, I've done it at the track before.
Probably have. Probably our good friend Dustin from Flesh Engine has jumped from the balcony.
Well, no, I don't know who he is, but again, I've seen somebody jump from the It's a nice, interesting stage dive. Thank God the guy didn't weigh over 118.
Okay. Over the Limit. Did either of you read up on it? Do any of you, either of you know what happened at Over the Limit?
Yeah.
I got nothing. You guys are going to have to break the news to me.
It sucked.
I heard that the Punk Bryan match was very good, however.
Here's my opinion on a wrestling pay-per-view. One match out of seven or eight that doesn't suck does not make it a good pay-per-view. Sorry.
Not worth the money.
I would agree with you on that, but I heard...
Especially when you're paying $49.99, $45, whatever the hell the money is, one match is not worth bucks sitting at home.
I heard that the Christian match was very good against Cody Rhodes. Even the Divas match was better than expectations.
Well, you got two good Divas. You had Phoenix and Layla wrestling. They actually had a match instead of a train wreck. I did not like. First of all, is Dolph Ziggler Billy Gunn?
I think he has become Billy Gunn. Yes,
I'm pretty much Billy Gunn. And Jack Swagger still. I did not like the tag team match. And I love R-Truth. I love the character he's playing right now. Del Rio, Jericho, Orton, Sheamus. Orton just bores me. He's like Stone Cold Steve Austin without the charisma at all. And then you had, Funkasaurus and Miz. That's great for the Miz, I guess.
There were two squash matches, too. Wasn't there another squash match? Ryback wrestled?
Ryback against, is it Camacho?
Camacho, I believe. Yeah.
Who cares about Ryback? The only thing I hear, when I hear the name Ryback, I think of Under Siege. And, the Laurinaitis Cena thing was great, was okay. It was better. I like the thing they're doing with the Big Show and Cena. I just can't stand to hear Laurinaitis talk anymore.
I just don't know why they're pushing Cena and Big Show upon us. It doesn't – how does that draw money?
What else are they going to push?
Well, certainly not Cena and Big Show.
But what else are they going to right?
Dean, you and I talked about this. They had their window. I know Cena's popular with kids, but, like, you flip him, man. You do it.
I have no idea. Mark, I'm so glad you said that. I have no idea why he's not going heel.
He should have at WrestleMania.
It almost is like, it would almost be like Hogan going bad.
At this point, yes.
It was such, and that's the thing. It would be the exact same culture shock for us, like with Hogan. When Hogan went bad, we were like, how do I root against Hulk Hogan?
Have a fat guy crawl over the railing and get beat up by the security, and then have Mean Gene walk into the ring and have people throw bottle cans at him.
I could go for that.
Yeah, and then have Scott Hall stumble into the ring and do his thing, and Kevin Nash fall.
Seriously, even with Cena as a villain, you will flip that audience again, and all the people that hated Cena will finally like Cena because he's trying to do something.
And I guarantee the reaction from the crowd would be better than what it's getting now. Now, I don't have I don't know what your guys, well, Dean, I know what your opinion of Cena is. I don't have a problem with Cena. I have a problem with the fact that they're just, as Vince McMahon has done in the past, shoving it down your throat until you throw him up.
He's a little formulaic. That's the problem.
So was Hulk Hogan. Which was
so problem. you mix him up.
Yeah, no, I agree.
If you make him a heel, then all of a sudden his formulaic problems feel justifiably hated.
That being said, the only problem I have with Cena is that he's not heel, and that's not really necessarily his fault.
Oh my
God, that would be so good, man.
I think Cena is a great guy outside of the ring. I don't care for his in-ring antics. I think his promos, he doesn't do a promo.
Yeah, I did have a problem with the opening promo on Raw, just recapping what they showed in pictures 15 seconds before.
I agree.
And Dean, like you said, he's really like a great guy. He's like a really great ambassador for the WWE. He's a real stand-up gent. And look, I know they don't have the guy to replace him yet, and that's probably why they're dragging their feet.
No, they do.
But
The Miz could replace him as the ambassador very easily. If they didn't bungle The Miz.
Well, they've already screwed that up. Unless, like, they do something drastic on TV, they're not pulling The Miz out of that friggin' hole.
But let's look at another guy who headlined a WrestleMania, and then his career went into a tailspin. After that, King Kong Bundy, The Miz, whose tailspin is worse?
Oh,
Bundy's.
I'd say at this point The Miz, because I don't see, like you said, him getting out of that hole.
Yeah, but here's the thing with The Miz. The Miz overcame everything from being a reality TV star.
But what's it got him now?
See, but we don't know
better
how bad that
was, man.
We don't know how bad that fall is. So we really, Bundy's is the worst until the end of Miz's career.
I just can't see how, like you said, the Miz gets out of it because they completely mismanaged The Miz's career at this point. And it's sad to see a guy who, granted, the WrestleMania main event he was in wasn't the greatest, but I think that's the blame of both guys.
I was going to say, it wasn't that bad.
But it wasn't like a WrestleMania, but then again, WrestleMania main event since, I guess, 21 haven't been a main event anyway. They've really been like the least watched match of the card.
Yeah.
So here's a quick question. Can The Miz, like, is he a guy that if he goes to, like, a TNA, is that a good move for him?
Yeah.
At this point, yeah.
Yep, it's like it's like when Christian went. It was like
hitting the reset button.
It was really like hitting the reset button. And then what has happened, finally getting the IC title, but what has happened since since Christian came back?
Well, no. He had the world title, two world title reigns.
Mm.
I mean, they weren't that significant, but he did.
That's my problem. You went from being the NWA champion to...
Well, the NWA championship, what's that really mean in 2000 when he went at 8?
About as much as the WWE championship in 2009.
Ouch. Damn.
Am I wrong?
Will you just stop?
Will you... Okay, all right.
Stop.
Okay.
Just stop it. One thing before we went, I did want to bring up. Today is the 13th anniversary of...
Is it today?
Yes.
Oh.
Of a tragic event that happened in wrestling history. If you don't remember, I'll play this clip for you.
Owen Hart was set to make an entrance from the ceiling, and he fell from the ceiling. And I have the unfortunate responsibility to let everyone know that Owen Hart has died. Owen Hart has tragically died from that accident here tonight.
I can remember exactly where I was. I know the previous generation would say JFK, but whatever. A tragic moment indeed for a senseless act that wouldn't have drawn any money. It wasn't putting asses in the seat, and someone dies over it.
Mm-hmm.
And the legacy of Owen Hart, guys, I just want you to think back. When you think of Owen Hart, what do you think about?
WrestleMania 10.
With his brother Brett.
Well, you want me to elaborate? I'm sorry. No, WrestleMania 10. Him coming out and winning against his brother. Now, my favorite wrestler in the... All right. My favorite wrestler was Sting. My favorite wrestler in WWE was always Bret Hart. And him coming out and beating his older brother made him. He made himself, you know what I'm saying. That put him on a whole other level in that company, as far as I'm concerned, in wrestling. And when I think of Owen Hart, I sure as hell don't think of the Blue Blazer. I don't think of the Blue Blazer in the WWE. I think of... some of those matches in Stampede, I think of WrestleMania 10. I think of me beating the game In Your House several times with Owen Hart. I think of the match, you know what I think about a lot? This match, SummerSlam 98 with Shamrock.
The Lion's Den match.
The Lion's Den match. That was
wow, yeah.
I like that match. Great match. That's really, what I think of Owen Hart. I think of a man who didn't want the wrestling business anymore, but didn't really have a way out, and that was how he was going to make his living, which is well documented. And I think of really what a soul the Earth lost. That just didn't need to happen. Any aspect of that story, blame whoever you want to blame, Vince Russo.
Roddy Piper certainly blames Russo.
Some of my favorite Roddy Piper moments after that happened was him just telling Vince on TV, are you responsible for my cousin Owen? Did you do that? The TNA interview, him just slapping him in the face, talking about Owen. One of my favorite moments. Vince needs to rot for that. Russo, I mean.
It's more than just Russo. It had to get approved by McMahon. It had to get approved by so many people.
But
and
my feeling is, based on reading the book, Bret Hart's book, seeing the interviews, you know, the Owen Hart documentary that the Shadow Wrestling with Shadows guys did.
Yeah.
He should have told him to F off.
He really should have.
No, I'm not doing it. What are you going to do, fire me? I'll go to WCW. Bye.
Exactly. I don't know. I think he was loyal to the WWF at the time. And it's a shame because that really... It's a loss more than just the wrestling world. Like you said, it's a loss for the world.
Yeah, I had a very vivid... I'll never forget this dream. I'm not making or exaggerating any aspect of the story up. The night after it happened, everybody, I'll never forget this. Everybody at school, because I was I wasn't even a senior. Holy crap. Was I a sophomore? I was a sophomore in high school. And everybody, all my friends thought, oh, he fell. It was really funny. Oh, I don't understand how my friends were making light of something like that. Because I cried. I don't care. Who knows? Everybody listen. I cried when that happened. The next night, I woke up from a very vivid dream, and I was in – I'll never forget this dream. I was up on the ceiling of maybe not the Kemp Arena, but, you know, the ring was below, scoreboard right next to me, and in slow motion, I fell, and I felt the wind hitting my face as I got faster.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those things, like I said, you might not believe it. I woke up right before I hit the mat, and I didn't go to sleep for the rest of the day. I don't know why I had that dream, but Owen was on the brain. And like I said, it was hard to watch wrestling for a couple weeks. I didn't watch it. I was just so bummed out.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any Owen thoughts, Mark?
You know, I was watching the pay-per-view when it happened. And I was excited for him because I thought he was going to win.
He was going to win the title that night.
You know, it was like, I know they kind of backed him into a corner with a crappy gimmick. And I really liked him and Jeff Jarrett at the time. They were really I thought they were really putting on good matches. They were a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Man, when they said it, I didn't believe it.
Yeah,
you know?
You thought it was kind of like.
Okay, yeah. Owen Hart got hurt. Because at first he wasn't dead, you know? He was hurt.
Yeah.
And then they broke the news to you, and you're like, what do you mean? What do you mean that some silly gimmick that you came up with because he wouldn't do a gimmick with his best friend's wife,
mm-hmm.
like cheat on his best friend's wife gimmick, killed him?
I have two questions.
You're kidding me? Do you know what I'm saying?
Go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry.
On top of that, you think about what Vince had done to just the Hart family in general at that point, and you're like, man, can he just cut this family a break?
Yeah.
I have two questions.
Sure.
Before we wrap. One, do you think they should have stopped the show? And two... How do I ask this about Martha? Do you think Martha should have, I'll just put it simply, should have held out for more?
On the first one, should they have stopped the show? That's something that people are always going to debate. whether they should have stopped it, whether they should have postponed it, whatever. I think Vince at that time, the crowd in the arena didn't know. I'm sure if they understood what happened, if they made an announcement over the PA, but how do you break the news to 20,000 people?
The way JR did.
Could JR do it? Could Tony Chimmel at the time? Could anybody make that announcement to 20,000 people?
You just put, well, not that I think they should have stopped the show. I'm just saying, I just want to know what your opinions are. I don't think they should have stopped it either, but
I think it's that would have caused more problems, obviously. And I'm just saying financial problems, but it would have just been a huge thing. And then the people in the crowd, I don't know.
Yeah.
On the second part, Martha Hart, I'd like to see Owen in the Hall of Fame, but in reality, the Hall of Fame is really who Vince is likes that year. So the Hall of Fame, frankly, doesn't mean much outside of that group of friends that select people.
But so, I think Martha needs to lighten up. Like, we want to see a DVD on his career.
We do. Brett does. People close to the Hart family want to see it. WWE wants to produce it. It'd make money. I don't think she wants any part of it.
Who asked her?
Hey, that's the wife.
I understand that.
If Vince was a classier guy, he could make it happen. Do you know what I'm saying?
I agree with that, too, 100%. I don't know.
The Hart family is unfortunately one of the most mismanaged talents of all time to me.
Not Bruce, though.
Yeah.
or Keith.
But 13 years ago today, I just wanted to bring it up because I didn't even realize it when the show was booked. I realized it earlier today. Twitter was, you know, RIP Owen, and I was like, oh, my God, it's today.
Not for nothing, just one more comment.
Sure.
And not to mention another tragedy, but the match later that year that Brett and Benoit had at the Kemp Arena on Nitro.
It's a damn shame WWE will never show that again. It's on the first Bret Hart DVD.
Yeah.
So it's there. But that was a great match of remembrance for.
And not only that, not only were the wrestlers on fire, but what added to it was Bobby Heenan was Bobby Heenan.
Yeah.
And it just was just great. And I had it on tape anyway, but the fact that you'll never see it again if you don't have that disc is a damn shame.
And Mark, anything else you want to add?
No, I think I summed it up, man. It's one of those things that really, like, Owen Hart was really a guy that I felt like put on the best matches you watched and, like, really gave his all,
mm-hmm.
even when he didn't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to go out the way he did, I feel like he's owed a little more.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy, as they say.
Unfortunately, so 13 years ago today. I just want to bring up ECWAProWrestling.com.
For
all the details on the June 2nd show, go there. Adam Cole, Papa Don is the main event. We will have Adam Cole next week on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. Also, NMRWrestling.com, that's New Moon Rising site. Go there and check things out. On Facebook, you can find Chris Wilde. He has a fan page. Just search for Heart Killer Chris Wilde. For Harold Boyer, you can find him at Twitter.com, Mr_Boyer, at Mr_Boyer. Kakoa, you can find on Facebook at Flying H. That's Facebook.com/FlyingH. You can also find them at Twitter, at KakoaFH. Empire, I just want to say you can find them on Twitter, at 215Blackie, and at RealTyReno. You can also find them on YouTube with the Empire 215. Just search for them, and you'll find Kayfabe TV, which is their television program. So, guys, another one in the books. Next week,
yay!
Adam Cole. We got Mark Angel as well. Not to be mistaken with Mark Cruz.
Or Mark Thompson.
You had to be there, Dan, for that joke.
No, I wasn't there. So you I had just stomped all over it.
You had to be there for that one. But so Mark Angel will be on as well. So I do want to give him his due. And Chikara calling in to hype up their pay-per-view coming up on June 2nd. Any last words, guys?
Keep it on the paper.
No, man, just thanks a lot again, and just a wonderful week.